Misled men and women try to change wicked authority through man-centered efforts, but the true believer is to be reminded and should know and recognize the plain and simple truth that there is no authority except from God.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the topic of Christian activism is one that stirs quite a bit of emotion on both sides of the discussion.
You know, Dave, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, the underlying reason why many Christians become social or government activists is because they really do not understand God's word and what it has to say about such behavior. So today, we're going to see how we as true believers in Jesus Christ are to behave towards those in government. Our text is Titus chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
There's a lot of submissive people on the outside that are very unsubmissive and rebellious in the heart. Submission is the heart attitude, and obedience is the action. Notice we see here, back in our passage, remind them to be subject to rulers and to authorities, to be obedient. To be obedient. This is an interesting word, actually, in Greek. It's not the normal word we see translated obey or obedient in the New Testament. It's the Greek word paitharkeo. Patho speaks of persuading or obeying, and arche is the word we just saw a little while ago. It's basically saying obey leaders. Obey leaders. He's really pouring it on here. He's not just saying, remind them to be subject to leaders and then just obey something else. Obey these leaders. It's only used 4 times in the New Testament, actually. And we see it used here. Now, if you think about it, what's the point here? Do you remember who he's talking about? He's talking to Titus and those in Crete, right? Do you remember what Paul shared about the Cretan unbelievers? Chapter 1, verse 12. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Crete had a reputation for being exactly that. And certainly, as within many governments, there would be corruption. So we had the Cretan governments there, and we also have, ultimately, Rome over all things here at that time. So first of all, we see, ultimately, that they are to, and we are to be, in subjection and obedient to ruling authorities. Now, that's kind of a broad command, but why is it that we are to be doing this? Why are we to be in subjection to wicked governments, to those who might be evil beasts, lazy gluttons? And we might say that about some of our politicians these days. Why would we be in subjection to them, evil, wicked sinners? Why? They're terribly sinful. Why would we do what they say? Shouldn't we do what we think is right? Well, first of all, we need to recognize it's a command based on the identity that we are in Christ. Let's take a look here. Verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Here's the reminder how to do it. And then we're going to see the first motivation why we are to do this. We'll look at it more in depth next week. Verse 3, 4, we also once, we were just like them. And if you don't think so, you're being very prideful and you don't understand what you've been saved from. We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient. We'll see. Deceived, that's being led astray, enslaved or becoming a slave to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That's a picture of the heart, no matter what they look like on the outside, the heart of those who don't know Christ. And if you're not saved today, you'll know in your heart that you've hated people. You'll know in your heart you're enslaved to various lusts. You'll know in your heart that you are disobedient in comparison to what God has said and that you are deceived. He's basically saying, submit to governments, First of all, because you were that way. And you're wondering, why would we do that? Because we were that way. And we'll see in a little bit. But God saved you. Verse 4, this should motivate us. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness. No, nothing good you could do can save you. But according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow, we've got love and kindness and grace and mercy and hope and eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful change from being fools, foolish and enslaved. What a difference. If you're a believer, you should have a changed life, right? You should be changed, right? Because of His mercy and grace, because we've been cleansed and redeemed and renewed, because of this, we should be doing good unto all men, acting righteously towards them in the midst of their ungodliness, right? Now, certainly, brothers and sisters, within the difficulties of having unbelievers ruling over us, we're tempted not to submit, we're tempted not to obey. And many of those temptations, I believe, we see come from the standpoint of self-righteousness. I'm not going to obey them. Look at the evil that they're doing. Well, the point here in this passage is, you were once the same way. We were once also the same way, but God saved us. So don't use that as an excuse not to obey them just because they are not like you. But now, why specifically do we see in Scripture, besides the most important reason God says so and He's redeemed us, why else do we see we should be obeying leaders? I believe it's because God alone has instituted authority. It is His servant, whether good or bad. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. We're going to look there in Romans 13. And Romans 13 is the portion where we see the manifestation of love in the body of Christ through obedience to government. You never thought you're loving someone by obeying them, but it is. It's love here. It's even a loving act to pay your taxes, as we'll see here. Doesn't seem like it, right? But first of all, we need to see why we are to be in subjection. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every person, except us, right? Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. That's pretty simple and clear, right? Every soul, literally. Everybody be in subjection. Now let me ask you, who was governing here at the time when Romans was written? Rome, right? Right? Okay. Were they a Christian government? No, they weren't, right? Okay. But God gives the command here. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Now, here's the reason why we are to be in subjection to the governing authorities, whether they are wicked or righteous. For there is no authority except from God. And we need to understand this because this is where every Christian activist goes wrong. They miss this. They miss this. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. That's a hard one to swallow because there are some wicked authorities out there, aren't there? The simple answer, we can't dodge around it, is there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And is this not the point that Jesus made before Pilate, when Pilate tried to pull the authority card on the Son of God? If you want to just thumb back to John chapter 19, we'll take a look at Jesus' answer to Pilate. John chapter 19, and we'll look at verse 9. John 19, verse 9. And he entered into the Praetorium. Again, this is the Roman deal. And he said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you, and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. The Lord answered perfectly according to the Word of God, right? Because He is the Word incarnate. Back what we saw in Romans. There is no authority except from God. And that's Jesus' answer there. You would not have authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin. That's an amazing statement. Because he's saying you're in authority. And God has ordained your authority there. Back to Romans 13. God has instituted, ultimately, authority, and we will see it is also his servant, whether good or bad. Now, we need to keep this in mind because the so-called Christian anti-governmental activists have missed the point, as I've shared, in their zeal to change governmental policies, to do righteousness. They fail to recognize that God is sovereign over all who are in authority. But we'll see later on, that doesn't mean we don't pray. That doesn't mean we don't do what God has said, that we might lead a quiet life and a righteous life. But they fail to realize, ultimately, the means in which God has ordained we address ungodly governments. It is through, I believe, through submission and obedience, and as we will see, prayer is the means that God has ordained. Misled men and women try to change wicked authority through man-centered efforts, but the true believer is to be reminded and should know and recognize the plain and simple truth that there is no authority except from God. That was basically the Lord's answer to Pilate when Pilate said, I got authority over you. And he said, you know, you wouldn't have any authority unless it is given to you by God. Right? So folks, God has established it, right? We need to recognize that first of all. And if we recognize that, then we need to do what he says. And we're going to see ultimately that when we do what he says, it will silence wicked men, that they may glorify God, that God has a different plan that does not make sense. We step out in our own wisdom and reason to try to fight against unrighteousness, and that's not what God says in his word. God is the one who changes hearts. Well, what about those who resist authority in the name of Christ? Bad government, I resist this in the name of Christ. Back to Romans 13. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And here's the answer. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Wow. That's what God says. Simply stated, God has instituted all authority, good or bad, and if you resist authority, you resist God. Now, why else has God established authority? Why else do we see here in Romans why he's established authority, good or evil? You look down in verse 3, for rulers, Romans 12:3, are not a cause for fear of good behavior. You shouldn't really have to be scared if you're driving 55, right? You don't have to fear the police officer if you're doing the speed limit 60, right, or whatever it is. You don't have to fear the police if you're doing what's good, generally speaking, right? Is that the case? He says, sir, for rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And here you go, for it is a minister. It's a diakonos. Government is a deacon for God, not in the spiritual sense of the church, but it is a servant, he says, literally, a minister, a deacon of God to you for good. That's the ultimate purpose of government. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a deacon or a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. God established government to punish evildoers. That's what government's for. And by the way, we see they have the punishment here with the sword. Let me ask you this. What did swords do in the Roman times? They killed people, right? Here we have the minister. And he says here, for it is a minister of God, verse 4, for good. And likewise, a minister of those do evil. And then middle of 4, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it doesn't bear the sword for nothing. And then verse 5, we have the conclusion. Wherefore, since this is why God has established government, It is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, that's the sword, right? You need to subject to government so that you don't get punished. That's the first thing, right? First off, if you don't subject to government, you're probably going to go to jail, right? Secondly, but also for conscience sake, we believers should be submitting to government because God has told us to. Our conscience before the Lord, right? Not just because we're scared. We should never just obey the street laws because we're scared we're going to get a ticket. We should be obeying the laws because of our conscience towards God, right? Pay your tax to unbelieving rulers because God has allowed them. And although they might be evil, they are serving His purposes. Verse 6, for because of this thing you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. And that's really a different word translated for servant there. Liturgos. We get our word liturgy. They're ministers of God. Even evil rulers in Rome at this time. You're telling this body in Rome, here Paul's telling them, to obey this wicked government. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of Christian activists out there who need to be reminded of the Word of God. They are zealous yet without knowledge from God's Word. And they don't realize what's at stake. What's at stake is the salvation of those ungodly people that they are against. We need to remember what the true purpose is behind. Are you concerned about our government? Do you realize there's no government instituted except that which God has ordained? Do you realize why? God says here, submit and obey. Now, why else are we to submit to governments, even if they're wicked? Why should we do that? We're going to talk about some of the cases. Well, what if they cause us a sin? We're going to talk about some of the things there in a minute. But in general, why are we to submit? Because ultimately, we might see that it will silence and possibly save those who are ungodly. Let's flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2, a wonderful discourse on why we should be submissive and obedient in the context of governments, slave master, all those things. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. The Gentiles was a slang term for non-believers. Keep your behavior excellent, because these were Gentiles here, among Gentiles. So that in the thing that they slander you as evildoers, they may account of your good deeds as they observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. There's something much more going on than you think here. Behave righteously among the ungodly. They're going to slander you as an evildoer, but someday they'll give an account and see that they were righteous deeds. He says here that they might observe them as they observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, it's a difficult passage. What's the day of visitation? Two possibilities, basically. The day that God visits them in salvation, possibly in Christ, and they recount and recall the good deeds as they are humbled and repent of their sin. That's possible. Or the day that God visits the earth in judgment and they recount them to His glory, even having rejected Him. It's different possibilities here. But ultimately, that day is coming, whatever it is. But in context, we see here in verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Why do we submit to every human institution? For the Lord's sake. That's conscience sake towards the Lord. Why do we submit to ungodly governments? It's for the Lord's sake, right? To every human institution, verse 13, whether to a king as one in authority, that would be Nero at this time, who was a really bad guy, or to the governors as sent by him for punishment. It's interesting, he's preparing them. They're going to have a fiery ordeal come upon them, as we know from history, for their testing. Nero, the government, is going to persecute them unto death. And right before that, 6 months before that, he's saying, submit to them and honor them. It's very interesting. Whether to as a king, as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For the Lord's sake, O Christian activists with an unsubmissive heart, doing things in the name of the Lord contrary to His word, would Jesus say to you, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Submit for the Lord's sake to every human institution. everyone. God has ordained it, whether good or bad. And then we have this wonderful statement, verse 15. For such is the will of God, here's God's will, that by doing what is right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. And that was Nero. Now, right here in our passage, we see that righteous behavior in the midst of wickedness, God is ordained by his will to silence the ignorance of foolish men, to literally muzzle their ignorance. Foolish men, those who don't believe. Righteous behavior in the context of unjust suffering actually silences the ignorance of unbelievers. It may not silence their mouths, but it silences the ignorance of unbelievers. They no longer can look at those whom God is working through in bad situations. They can no longer rightfully, in their own eyes, malign them because they have now been informed as they've seen their righteous deeds, and their ignorance is silenced. God is working on foolish men. We were all foolish, right? For we were all once foolish, we see back in our passage, right? He's using his body to silence their ignorance, and hopefully, I believe, in the day of visitation, they will glorify God. They'll be saved. If your heart is to have people saved, you may not be protesting the government the way you used to protest it if you are bent towards that fleshy activity. If your heart is to have a government that you like and sounds godly, then it may be different. But God is allowing these things to happen for a greater purpose. Now, we're tempted in our flesh, all of us, to resist government, but remember, it's for the Lord's sake to submit. So that ignorant fools might be knowledgeable fools and see their sin and get saved. We want ignorant fools to be knowledgeable fools, that they might see their sin and be saved because they see Christ working in us. This is why I'm so against Christian political activism, because so often it's either ignorant or an unsubmissive heart behind it. There is an ignorant heart that does not realize that God has ordained government. Maybe an unsubmissive heart that sees their own desires of living peacefully more important than people's souls being saved.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, for that person who struggles with the evil in our government, what would you tell them?
You know, Dave, first of all, I would tell them that I don't agree with many of the policies or laws that our government endorses. And unfortunately, much of what we see that comes out of Washington is morally corrupt and evil. However, I need to put my personal feelings aside and submit to the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. And God says that we are to be subject and obedient to our leaders. Now, it doesn't say that I need to agree with them or approve of what they say or do. It just says I need to submit and obey. And friend, there's really no other option in Scripture. We are to behave in a humble manner in regards to those in authority over us. And obviously, it's not calling us to sin. If the government asks us to sin, we're not going to do that. But yet we are to submit to government. And we'll see that within that God uses our submission to him and thus government to be a light to a lost and dying world. So, Dave, ultimately our obedience can be the catalyst that can cause those who do not know Christ to see Christ in our lives. So we need to put our feelings aside, obey the Lord Jesus Christ, submit to those in authority, and let the God of the universe handle the rest.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.